This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on, baby? Back to work. The band is back together. My brother, the voice, as I said, is weak, but his soul and his heart is strong.
It is.
It's Dukes and Bell. We start the show, and Chris as well with a big hearty,
hey, man.
I know that voice. I know that feeling. After I know you had other things other than Vegas, but it'll put some wear and tear on the pipes, baby.
Well, you know this. The air is dry out there. Yep. I always get dried out. And then, you know, like I said, making my way back here, and we get off the plane, and literally it's like, oh, I feel it. The allergies, right. You know, the green stuff is everywhere. You guys know. But we're here. We're going to have a great day, have a great time, and certainly talk about all the things that went on. And, Mike, this was a crazy sports weekend. It really was. The NCAA tournament, for everybody who doesn't watch college basketball, it's been fun. It's been entertaining. It's all the things you expect in the month of March. And let's be honest, you said you were going to go with UConn. They look unbeatable in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, we got all number ones, and the number twos are there. So I know the teams that were 3 and 4 were there for a reason, because they were a little inconsistent. We talked a lot about Kentucky last week, and we'll get into that, because I was killing Coach Calipari on Friday.
You aren't the only one.
Yeah, and I think we had a bunch of Kentucky fans at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, and these guys were, you know, well-heeled Kentucky fans, and they were of the same opinion. You know, so we'll you know, get into all that. But I just thought, you know, last night, the really only real big March Madness moment was kind of like Texas A&M hitting that crazy three to send it to overtime. They ultimately lose to Houston last night.
Yeah, that was a great moment. I mean, listen, you talk about Oakland and the fun that they had in their first game and even in their second game, which they could have won. There have been a bunch of close games, but no cigar kind of games, you know, in the first couple of days. I think this next round, though, Thursday, Friday, Houston-Duke.
Oh.
Right? You then look at UConn-San Diego State, which is a rematch of the national championship game. You've got North Carolina-Alabama. Everybody thinks that North Carolina is going to blow doors. Alabama may surprise them. And then Arizona-Clemson, I think, is going to be a great game. So, you know, Tennessee's still in the mix. Purdue, the number one overall seed. or the number one team has been for most of the year. Right. I think it's going to be great, but we'll see what happens. It's been a fun tournament so far to watch. That's for sure.
And again, we said this on Thursday and Friday show, and I mean, you and I have already covered this a number of times over the last few years. It just seems like, man, when you don't have any skin in the game, there's no Georgia, no Georgia Tech, no Georgia State, no Kennesaw State, no Georgia Southern. You know, there's just nobody involved. Matter of fact, Clemson's got a kid from Atlanta up there. I mean, you know, you got a couple of guys from Clemson that are from Metro Atlanta, Chase Hunter.
Correct.
Wiggins. So you got dudes that just don't play in Georgia. And now, because the same argument that talks about Calipari had, like, let's be honest, Carl, his own version of name, image, likeness for the better part of two decades at Kentucky. Mike White. Meter's running. Now, Coach Damon Stoudemire's got a big class coming in. I believe it's projected to be top 15.
It is.
But it just kind of feels like womp womp when you don't have anybody, you know, in your local environment to be in this tournament. And you're seeing all these big moments. And, of course, we talked about Sankey at the top of the hour with Andy Randy. You know, like, I understand where he was going with it, but then you got to back it up.
Well, explain to our listeners what they missed.
Sankey feels that, like, either he wants to expand the tournament, and the logic would be let's get more of the big money schools from the big conferences, you know, whatever you consider it, power 6, 7, 8 in basketball. It's different. Football. And then he said these automatic bids, maybe the time and place is gone for that. And then, of course, the automatic bids come up and bite all the SEC teams at large, and the tookus, other than Tennessee and Alabama.
Yeah, and everybody's talking about this is what's wrong with the tournament, that it needs to expand. You don't like expansion in football.
No.
And I don't want expansion. I don't want 100 teams in this tournament. That's, you know, they're talking about 90 or 100. That's ridiculous. This is the reason why this works, I think, Mike, is one, you earn a spot, and everybody's not invited. And it makes it a little bit more urgent once you get into the tournament. I mean, listen, this is the thing we discuss all the time about the college football landscape, guys. If you allow 28 teams in the college football playoff, what is the regular season for?
Right.
It just means nothing. So college basketball is a 30-35-game regular season. Winning your conference matters. Winning your conference tournament matters. And then for the mid-majors, Mike, you know, the schools that don't have those resources, a lot of these schools, this is the only time they get recognition.
Right.
Nobody heard about Oakland this year. Nobody watched Oakland until this tournament. And so that's the brilliance of it. I don't think that you need to change anything or expand anything. I just think Sankey was trying to, again, flex his clout.
Right.
And right now, in football, they can do that. I don't think you can do that in basketball.
No, I mean, you've had two national champions in, the last 30-some-odd years in the SEC. You got to go back to Billy Donovan's, two with the Florida Gators, Coach Cal in 2012. You know, it's not the same kind of dominance we talk about in the way they've killed the BCS and then the college football playoff. But, hey, you did get, for now, for the most part, chalk to your point, Carl. You get, you know, Creighton, which I've got them in my Final Four. A lot of people like those guys. Carolina, you know, you're hoping for Carolina, Michigan State. It started off great, and then Carolina just showed you why they're one of the best teams. You know, Edie for Purdue. That was like, the old AC/DC song, I'm going to walk all over you. I mean, that Purdue, they just got after it, man.
He's big. He's hard to guard. There's no doubt. I don't think, Mike, this is just me, I don't think he's going to be a great NBA talent.
No.
But he's a great college talent because he creates so many mismatches. And we've seen guys, you know, 7'2", do these kinds of things. But Edie, give him credit. Purdue looks good. I don't think they're better than Gonzaga. Gonzaga may be playing the best basketball of anybody right now outside of UConn.
Right.
Their first two games – again, I was thoroughly impressed in what they did against Kansas.
Right.
Mike, they've got it all. They've got great guards. They got great bigs. They defend. It will not surprise me. When is that game? Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
If Gonzaga beats Purdue, will not surprise me.
Shire's guys at Duke, they're just kind of got to live in the charm life. Now they get Houston, as you mentioned. Houston, look, if Houston goes on to win this for Kelvin Sampson, you could argue that last night against A&M was the toughest test. You got four of your five starters who fouled out.
Yep.
You've got a dude. It reminded me of, like, when they got Ollie in there in Hoosiers. You got the little white kid trying to hit the free throw late in the game. He misses the first one. The crowd's like, oh, no, but he makes the second one. They extend the lead. They hang on. For those who've never seen Hoosiers, it's like literally the 10th guy on the small-town team.
It is.
Going Rick Barry style, trying to make the free throws.
They got a couple of guys hurt. I mentioned this to you last week, and – that depth or lack of it may hurt them when we get to these next couple of rounds here over the weekend. I think Elite Eight, I think they can beat Duke. I don't know if they can get to the Final Four. We'll see. It's all about matchups. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, man, and we will get into the headlines next segment. We'll talk about some of the other things. Over the week while you were out on vacay, the storylines we had were Marvin Harrison missing his, you know, deciding not to work out at the pro day for the Buckeyes. And, boy.
Big shots, right?
Yeah, it was kind of funny because we got people fired up. I said, you know, look, if every no general manager, you're not going to have like four angry man Bill Polians who are going to go, nah, this guy's too big for his own britches. Man, no, you're still going to take him because he's the most talented player in the draft. But we did get people fired up on Wednesday's show about what if he was there at eight and knowing how this general manager does take the best available athlete. So people were losing their minds on that.
Listen, player empowerment is real. We're seeing it in college football all over the place with NIL. Mm. And I think, Mike, if you're a top five pick, you can do this. If you are top 15, no, you're not doing this. No. If you are 28th, you're not doing this. If you're a top five pick,
right,
and you are a rare talent and you put it on tape, which Harrison did, I don't need to do anything. You've seen what I can do. And you're seeing more and more guys do this. Now, is this going to become the norm? I don't know. But you saw what Deion said about his son, right?
Right.
Deion Sanders came out and said, Shador may reject where he gets drafted next year.
Much like Eli did not want to play, you guys remember, for the Spanos family.
Yes.
And the Chargers, I should say.
So,
that's why they made that move in the trade with the Giants.
It sounds like, you know, oh, what's Deion talking about? But let's be honest. Sports is the only thing you get. You don't get to pick where you go.
Right.
Right? We get out of college. We get to go pick where we want to live, where we want to work. We may have other job opportunities. Not in sports.
No.
So,
and by the way, you know, before, you know, you could see all these, you know, all the Deion haters with their own, you know, attitudes about the way Deion operates, and racial stuff. But anyway, you could see some of those guys already sharpening up the knives. John Elway started this. John Elway's dad was
the
first guy to thumb his nose at the NFL. His father was a college coach. He knew that Frank Kush and John were never going to be on the same page in Baltimore, and it was a bad fit, bad organization. The Ursays were a disaster, and they, you know, didn't trust him. And eventually they shuffle off the end of the night, middle of the night, to go to Indianapolis. So that was one of the first times. And Elway also had the juice to say, I can play baseball.
I can go elsewhere.
You know, and he had other options. That's all part of that Manning, I should say, that Elway to Marino, that great 30 for 30. But, yeah, we'll talk some NFL. We'll get into Blitz and more about, you know, prime time saying they may try to affect where he's going. We're live here at State Farm Arena. It's Dukes and Bell back together. Yes, you can talk about Jason Tatum, Carl. You can talk about Jaylen Brown. You can even talk about Porzingis. But people are flocking to State Farm tonight for the Bruno Fernando show.
Yeah, Bruno.
This dude last night. We'll get into it with the headlines.
Great.
But, dude, man, on one leg. Now, granted, you know, the Charlotte Hornets, that is what it is. But, hey, man, we'll take a dub when we can. But this team, the injury bug, and while you were out, more and more guys, Jalen Johnson can't seem to catch a break. Everybody banged up. Is it a valid excuse? So while we're talking Hawks today, is it valid to say this team would be a 7? Could this team be a locked-in playoff position without the injuries? I still don't buy that argument. We'll get into it. Come up next, though. We'll hit the headlines with Mike and Carl live at State Farm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Dukes and Bell. The band is back together, as we said, here on a Monday. Carl's coming off a West Coast, little West Coast swing, a little Vegas in the mix. And we were joking around on Friday's show. I was like, guys, where's Carl at, man?
I don't know, man. Don't tell me nothing. The information's on a need-to-know basis. It's a very secret operation.
I can tell you, but I have to kill you.
So he may be working. Like, I told you the story with Tony the Mailman, my boy. In the old days, you'd meet a girl at the bar at, like, Cleveland or something in South Beach. What do I do for a living? Well, I work for the government. It's kind of hush-hush. I mean, he's a mailman. But, I mean, technically, he's not lying.
No, he's not. He's not.
Add some juice. But a lot of guys hit us up on the text line already. We'll talk more about the Hawks coming up. And, so, I mean, you know, again, it's just real quick before we get to the headlines, a debate we were just having off the air. Is it a valid excuse to use the injuries? Were we ever going to be a 6-seed? Because that's the only argument. Everything else is playing game.
It is. I was just talking to you guys about if you could have gotten Jaylen Johnson at his best this season, okay? Because we know he's still developing.
He got banged up early.
Yes. if you could have gotten Hunter, who for stretches, right, has played really well, and Trey all together at one time, all playing like that, like Trey knowing what Trey does, Hunter and Mike, this could have been that team to maybe be a sixth or seventh seed, but they never got the full amount of time to do that. You're here for three games, you're gone. You're here for 10, you're out. But I'm going to tell you, from what I've seen, I just think it's taken too long for the connectivity to happen. Right. And so now, you know, again, we're trying to find guys to step up. It's going to be a tough task tonight, man. Celtics right. are blowing out everybody. I'm just telling you, like, they're beating everybody by 12 points, 15 points, and they're making it look really easy. But this would be a huge signature win for the Hawks. Right. And ironically, they play them again at the end of the week on Friday. So,
and, you know, I was talking to a couple of guys on Friday's show because there was reports out that if Trey came back, he wouldn't be wearing an apparatus. If he's got to use a device, he's got to wrap it or put some kind of brace, he's not going to play because
yeah.
you're not going to be able to shoot. And so I don't look at that point. I don't even really think it's worth bringing him back anyway. You're not going to, I mean, yes, we always believe in the long shot. And yes, you believe you could be like, you know, the huge upset when Denver beat Seattle back in the day with Mutombo. But that's, you know. It's hard to envision this team making that kind of a run. So would you have any you put any, I don't put any heat on Trey for if he says if I can't shoot with my regular pinky the way I should be, I'm not going to play.
I would be upset, but I think if he can play, he'll play.
Right.
This is it's hard to keep these stars out, man, because they understand legacies are built in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Trey has a very good first series. Even if the Hawks were to lose, it still matters when you view his brand, his work, right. all the things he's been able to accomplish. I don't think he wants to sit out if they have a shot to play. So, but I wouldn't be mad at him, Mike.
All right, man. We'll talk about that and more as we hit the headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
And the headlines are brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Yeah, man, the Hawks taking on the Celtics tonight, 7:30 tip. We'll hear from Quinn Snyder. Basically, with a lot of guys out, a chance for other guys to develop.
It's always good to see a team grow. I know the road trip, the results weren't necessarily what you want, but O comes back and he's out. We lost Jalen. You know, obviously Trey's been out. So we had a lot of guys on our bench that have been working.
Now, you've seen Bruno Fernando doing his thing with Skyhawks. Is he ready to take that leap?
Well, even with the Hawks. I mean, yeah, listen, Bruno, he plays his role. Bruno is a guy on a very good team. If we had the shooters around him and the playmakers, Bruno is a guy that's going to go get you rebounds. He's going to play defense. But now he's been forced to score because of what's been going on. So he can do these things, Mike. It's just, you know, is he going to be as consistent as you'd like him to be? We'll find out tonight because this is right. a perfect game for him to do what he just did.
And here's Bruno saying, nah, man, I still do the same thing each night.
Just trying to impact the game however I can. Just trying to find ways to help the team, whether it is defensively, you know, they're just trying to come in and do my job.
Right on, brother.
I love his attitude, though. Right. He's fun. He's a fun dude. I love he dunks on people. He has fun with it. You know, right. he's physical. But just from a skill standpoint, like, he can do these things, but they don't ask him to do them very often because right. that's just not his role.
No, man, it was one of those typical Charlotte. Does Ball have played any games since he got his max contract? Anyway, but they beat up on the Hornets.
That's a good point.
It was pretty much a whooping. Unfortunately, we knew this was coming. We talked about it on Thursday and Friday, that Atlanta United was not going to be at full strength going up to Toronto. Cold weather, snow, funky. And a Toronto team that just kind of – we had some great scoring opportunities early. Saba, we'll talk about it with Jason Longshore next segment. They couldn't convert. If you got that first goal, changes everything. You could maybe steal a point on the road for a draw. But just not enough firepower as United falls 2-0. The big story is the U.S. men's team. After having a real sneaky squeak-by game against Jamaica where they have to go to stoppage time for the winner, they go and they beat Mexico. They've dominated Mexico the last couple of years. Big rivalry in this CONCACAF tournament.
Are we going to have a decent shot in this next World Cup? That's my question.
I sure hope so.
That's my question.
I mean, you know, the team seems to be so frustrating. You know, last year, and it was Rio, by the way. We'll talk about it with Jason, but one of the guys who caused all the drama last time actually scored one of the goals in this match against Mexico. I remember in 14 down in Brazil, it was Jose Altidore's hamstring rolls. There's always something, you know what I mean? There's always some little sidetrack. But I'm with you, especially being the host team. You get it automatically, but obviously they're going to earn it. And hopefully, you know, as we said, build this thing. We've had these sort of benchmarks over the years. Well, this is going to be the World Cup that's going to And soccer does well. And Atlanta United has been a big part of that contribution, Carl. But and we'll talk to Jason about it. But great question. When are we going to go far?
Because, I'm all about us having success in any of these world tournaments, CONCACAF, et cetera.
Right. We got to the knockout round against England. But, I mean, moving on. Actually, shocking the world.
Correct.
Like we did against Colombia in 1994.
Correct. And that's the question, especially with it being in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right. Is Coach Calipari on the hot seat? You are a Kentucky booster.
Yes, I am. Everybody's PO'd, but nobody wants to cut the check. It's $33 million.
Right.
Okay. So there was a lot of being going on all weekend, but at the end of the day, nobody wants to cut the check. So the excuse that is being given right now in Lexington, Mike, is young team. How many of these guys come back? He's got three pros right now that could easily go to the NBA draft and be drafted this summer. How many of these guys come back, and what has he got coming? And how do they fix what's going on? Listen, Cal is an amazing recruiter. I've known him way before this with Kentucky. He is an amazing recruiter. The problem is, Mike, when you get into these tight games and you need X's and O's, he has struggled with that. And so that is why they've struggled in the tournament, because usually everybody's up to play him. It's Kentucky.
Right.
You're going to beat them. You're going to get that unusual first-round matchup. And when you get beat, regardless of the name on the jersey, everybody says, why the hell are you getting beat? You're highest paid coach in college basketball.
We played those Coach Calipari cuts on Friday's show. I mean, it's like, yeah. Well, he goes, oh, this thing is a different animal. It's a single elimination tournament. It's been like this forever. It's not like this. And you've always, even in the years before where we are today with the transfer portal, you were only getting most of your stars for a year as it was. Your McDonald's All-Americans are jumping to the
NBA. This is his norm.
Right. I mean, this is not a new norm, to your point. So, yeah, I mean, I've always felt like we mentioned Bobby Kremen's had Kevin Cantwell. All the great coaches have a good X's and O guy to kind of help them. You know, Boeheim. You know, he'd play the zone, the 2-3.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're like all the guys that went through Syracuse, only one. You know, Patino's got two. One's gotten vacated. But Calipari, sometimes you begin to wonder, where's the beef? Speaking of the tournament, the moment that really was kind of the March Madness, and you can definitely see this on the final video at the end of the tournament, is when Texas A&M sent it to overtime last night.
Taylor, by far their best outside shooter. He has been dismal today, 2-for-11. Roberts fronts. Radford calls the break. No timeouts. Bounce in. Up top, Garcia for three. Got it! Anderson Garcia, his ninth made three of the year!
Yeah, man, he only made eight threes going up into that moment. It was a low bounce pass. We had to go pick it up at his feet, Carl, and then position and take the shot.
Yeah, it was an incredible shot, and big shout-out to A&M. They played great. I thought, Mike, this was the game that might propel them if they won this game because of Houston's ability to score the way they did. A&M did everything they needed to do, man, and just came up short. It was probably one of the most entertaining games of the weekend,
right
no
on.
Doubt. That shot was nuts.
Big time. We'll talk more about the tournament, guys. How are your brackets doing? On the other side with the ladies, Kim Mulkey making some big news. By now, you may have seen some of these headlines. The Washington Post, apparently the same writer who apparently, I guess LSU fans felt it was a hatchet job or maybe it was a little disparaging of Brian Kelly, apparently has been getting underneath Kim Mulkey's program's fingernails for the past year and a half. And two sides to every story. He says, I've been trying to reach out for some comments on some of these issues that we have in the article for almost a year. And she basically says they drop the questions for comments right before they're going to press. She's threatening to sue. Take a listen to Kim Mulkey going basically DEFCON 1.
This was a ridiculous deadline that LSU and I could not possibly meet, and the reporter knew it. It was just an attempt to prevent me from commenting and an attempt to distract us from this tournament. It ain't gonna work, buddy.
Yeah, I said not going to let a sleazy reporter undermine her program. And so she's basically...
Why is he sleazy?
Yeah, well, that's... You don't get out. It's a time-honored... Well, in the last 6 years of American politics, it's a time-honored tradition to get out in front of a story and totally disparage the person writing the story.
If this guy... And I'm not seeing... The story's not dropped yet, right? It has not dropped. Mike, if he has documentation where he's contacted the school numerous times to try to do this interview, it's going to slap them in the face. Because right now what she's saying is he basically reached out to us one time and we didn't have time to do it.
Right.
If he has contacted the athletic department multiple times, which I'm sure he did, and said, I want to talk to Kim Mulkey, and it was, no, don't have time, no, this looks like crap. Now, I don't know what the explosive part of this article is.
Right.
Apparently, allegedly, she cut the head off of some animal and was showing it to her girls on the team and was talking about this is how you have to be. And and listen, I don't know if any of it is true. I've just heard snippets.
Like her version of the Jackie Sherrill story.
Correct.
Back when
Correct.
Jackie Sherrill explained to his players what
that's
a Longhorn was.
But that's just one element of it. This gets into her style and how she treats the women on her team. Right. Long story short, Chris said it. She won a national championship last year.
Yeah, she's a winner. You're a winner. You draw the spotlight. She's a personality that's very polarized for some. I mean, like, I don't follow enough of women's basketball to know other than she gives a pretty funny soundbite. So when they get
and she's entertaining.
Yeah,
she is.
I mean, she gives you a reason to be interested in women's basketball in some cases when her team is advancing through the tournament. We'll get more to that a little bit later. And some guys, we got some more cuts from her press conference coming up. And then speaking of press conferences, Shohei Ohtani speaks presumably through a new translator, a new interpreter, one would imagine today. He's not going to answer questions. A million questions out there. There's an article in the LA Times basically saying,
does that help or hurt him?
It's just, if you have no expectations, you can't be disappointed. I don't expect this guy to say it. He's not going to answer any questions.
All right, so here's the issue. You're the biggest star in Major League Baseball now, right? You just got a new deal. Mm-hmm. You're in the second biggest media market in the world, or at least in our country, in LA. Mike, you got to answer some of this. This is suspicious as hell that all of a sudden you helped your translator pay off debts. How do we know that you are not connected to this? And it's an issue for Major League Baseball right now. And I just talked to a couple of guys that I know in the baseball office that are not saying anything, but they are concerned that people are going to get under the fingernails of this deal. And as we go through the season, more information is going to come out. I'm just telling you, I'm not calling him guilty. I'm just saying Shohei needs to speak about this.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine somebody would have that kind of access. There was an article that Chris and I we talked about it on Wednesday. There was another article, I forget what paper was out west, basically saying unless he's the greatest man-child in the history of sports, there's, sure, here's my credit card number, here's my account numbers. You know, I mean, he's sure, certainly, when his agent's making some amazing deals to basically backload money, he's apparently acutely aware of how the money works. In this case, a little strange. We'll get into it a little bit later in the program. Coming up next, we're live at State Farm. Carl, I'm taking point today because Carl's voice is, until he gets it all recovered, gets back to 100%, get back to being 100. But next, it's our man Jason Longshore. One of the big storylines of the U.S. men's national team was Gio Reyna and the fallout between his dad, his mom, and the coach. He's providing some sparks as his team wins and beats Mexico, but we'll also focus on what we knew was going to be a tough sled up there in Toronto. Coming up next on Dukes of Bell, live from State Farm.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is Dukes and Bell, yes, as the man said, live at State Farm, where it is the Bruno Fernando Show. Can he go for 25 two nights in a row? Let's watch. Hey, man, this hour of the Dukes and Bell Show is brought to you by our buddies at the Man Cave Store, guys. Get your man cave up to speed. Go to mancavestore.com. Our man, Jason Longshore, on Twitter, at Longshoe. Hopefully he's warmed up from what was a chilly day up there in Toronto. And, Jason, we didn't have much expectation because of the international competition and everybody's, well, not everybody, but a large portion of your team was not there. So is that what you expected up in Toronto?
Yeah, in a game like that, it comes down to getting the first goal. And in the conditions that both teams are dealing with, and, yeah, to be fair, you always have to say that because I know people will jump for, you know, oh, it's an excuse. That was the most miserable I've been for 2+ hours outside. It was awful. 18 degrees wind chill at kickoff. We talked to Brad Kazan afterwards. Doug Robertson and I were having a conversation with him, and he said there was ice on the field. You know, when they're watering the field, which I have no idea why they were doing this before the game and at halftime, it looked like, and Mike Conte and I were watching it, it looked like the water was turning to, like, ice droplets at the end of the stream before it hit the ground. It was It was really difficult. And when you're dealing with that, you got to score first because you don't want to be running uphill. And Toronto, for about a five-minute stretch in the first half, their pressure really disrupted Atlanta. They forced a turnover. They get the goal. I thought the guys responded pretty well and had a good spell of play in the second half. Probably the best opportunity was Saba Lobjaniza cutting across the top of the 18. Shot took a deflection. Atlanta earned a corner. But once Toronto got the second goal, it was really difficult.
Jason, I'm not going to use it as an excuse, but what's the rule with the weather where they can call a game if it's that kind of situation where you're putting guys in danger on the field?
Yeah, I mean, you play through it. let me choose my words here. We were outside, too, calling the match. I don't know if you guys have talked to Mike since the game. We were outside. We were in a tent. There wasn't a booth. So we were calling it in that, and I mean, I don't know how the guys dealt with it. It was so hard. You know, it wasn't, I mean, I guess the line of where you're putting guys in danger, sometimes hard to judge. You know, you didn't have, the field was playable even if it wasn't good. It was not ideal. It was very, very hard to play in, hard to do much of anything in, but in those kinds of situations, I think it really goes back to starting well. And it's hard to do that. And I think Atlanta United's guys on the field with five guys making their first start of the 2024 season, it took a while to build any chemistry you could possibly find on a night like that. And ultimately, they didn't find it fast enough. Toronto found it faster.
It is our man Jason Longshore. We're going to talk about the U.S. men's national team in a second. But what I did get to watch, admittedly, I was bouncing back and forth and everything else that was going on over the weekend. But, you know, the opportunity with Saba, if you get that first goal, as you said, to start the conversation, it just changes everything. And we can park the bus.
Exactly. If you could have found a goal in the first half, and it felt like a real 50-50 sort of game because it wasn't like Toronto was thriving in these conditions either. Mm. They found something faster, and what they found, and credit to them, that pressure up high. You know, we know how Atlanta United wants to play, and it's easy to say, well, why don't you just do something different in conditions like this? That's not how it works. This isn't a video game. You know, you can't switch the tactic and just immediately flip a switch and play differently. This is a team that wants the ball, and they want to build out of the back, and they create opportunities that way. And when Toronto's pressure was better than Atlanta's ability to play through it, that's ultimately what turned the game. If you've gotten the first goal, I think it's a completely different night. But you don't, and you're on the road, and it's really difficult. You know, tough sledding is the cliche that we use here. Didn't have any snow on the field in this one, but, man, it felt like some tough sledding.
So what do you take from this as far as a learning experience? Obviously, not having all the tools in the box doesn't help, but can you take something from this and build on it?
Yeah, I think you can. I think when you look at this upcoming week's match where you're hosting Chicago off of an international break where, you know, tomorrow Bartosz Lisz, Yorgos Giakoumakis, they're playing with their national teams to try to get into the European Championships this summer. Thiago Almada has another game with the Argentine U23s as they prepare for the Olympics. Caleb Wiley, same with the U.S. U23s. You're going to have guys coming back later in a good bit of minutes under their belt. Getting Dax McCarty 90 minutes, very, very important. You're going to need Dax at times of the season, and it's good to get him a game. Noah Cobb got the start. Good to get him a game. Good to get Jamal Thiaré a start. Good to get Daniel Rios into the match. I thought Rios looked very good when he came on, considering he only had a couple of training sessions with this team. So you got guys' minutes, and it's going to be easier for them to help you on Sunday and help you down the stretch. But, yeah, tough to get a result in those conditions falling behind.
Hey, man, we haven't had a chance to catch up with you on the U.S. men's national team. And Carl and I were just talking last break. Is this going to be the World Cup? We got a few years to wait where we can really finally get that explosion we've all been expecting. And we've had spurts from the women's run, obviously, in the World Cup to various runs we've been going all the way back to 94. But, man, first off, you had an amazing dramatic win against Jamaica, and then they continue to dominate Mexico.
Yeah, I have never in all my time really watching the U.S. men's national team closely. I mean, I'm going back to the late 80s when they qualified for the 1990 World Cup. I've never seen them have this level of dominance over Mexico for an extended period of time. You'd have a year or two, you'd have big wins, but not just complete dominance to the point that Mexico isn't even playing like Mexico anymore against the U.S. They played a line of five. Yesterday, they sat back and defended and played direct. It's the U.S. who's playing soccer. It's the U.S. who's playing the beautiful game. And you're at a point with this generation of players that's come through. And I know the cynical thing that gets thrown around because England went through it with a golden generation, and you expect them to go win a World Cup. This U.S. team, in terms of talent and where they are, is as talented as we've ever had. Are they the most talented team in the world? No. Are they a top five team in the world in terms of talent? No. Can they be a top 10? Yeah, possibly. They're in that ballpark. They're definitely a top 20 team. And the Jamaica game, prime example. You give up a goal in the first minute against a team that wants to come in and park every bus they can find, and they did. It was very difficult to get something out of it. Eventually they did because of that fight through, and I think the spirit that's being developed within this team. Greg Berhalter's got the best winning percentage of any U.S. men's national team manager in history. He's owned Mexico. He's owned this CONCACAF Nations League. The U.S. men's national team's in a really good spot right now. They've got to continue to build, and the summer's Copa America is going to be the real test before the World Cup in 26.
And the whole Reyna, like, soap opera. Remember with his parents at the last World Cup and the bad blood between Berhalter? The kids make – he had, again, a big goal to help beat Mexico, so that's all water under the bridge?
Yeah, I don't think there was really much of the issue, honestly, between Gio and Greg Berhalter. Reyna didn't handle being told that he wasn't going to start the first World Cup match. He didn't handle it well, and I think that's, you know, kind of indisputable at this point. And right. To the point that some of his teammates called him out on it, he bounced back in that tournament. He contributed in the last match for the national team in the World Cup. And now it's just about Gio being able to play at the club level to be as good as he can possibly be, because he's been great with the national team ever since then. He was great in that match yesterday against Mexico, playing in a little bit deeper role, and I thought he really thrived in it. He's got to get more minutes at the club level. That's the most important thing for him. He played more minutes here in the Nations League than he's played since he joined Nottingham Forest on loan in the Premier League for months. That's got to change for him, because he could be one of the most talented players we've ever had.
Well, man, that's great to hear. And again, looking forward to seeing more action. We got the women. Real quick, talk about the women's event coming to Mercedes-Benz next weekend.
Not this weekend, I can't wait for this. The She Believes Cup, this is a big tournament for the U.S. because it's before the Olympics. The Olympic roster is only 18 players, so there's a lot of competition to get into that team. We're going to find out the roster for She Believes Cup tomorrow, and then we're going to have the broadcast on 92.9 The Game. I think it's the first terrestrial radio broadcast of the U.S. women's national team ever, as far as I can find in history. Really cool, and we might have the largest crowd in a non-World Cup or non-Olympics game ever. The tickets are flying. The 300 level's open. It's going to be a big-time spectacle, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday at the Bend.
Well, sounds great, man. Good time, Jason. Looking forward. We'll catch up and talk more about that as we get closer to it. And hopefully we'll get against the fire coming up at Mercedes-Benz, get back on the winning side. That's our man, Jason Longshore. Follow him at Longshoe as he and Mike Conte thaw out from a trip to the Great White North.
Yeah, hopefully you can build on some of the things. You just need your pieces, right? You need your stars, and we didn't have our stars in that game. So I'll take a step back, Mike, and just say, we'll be better. We'll be fine. And when we see them later in the year, it'll be a different story.
That's right.
So
that's it, man. As we said, this is something that, you know, it's just they take the week off over in the U.K. We don't do that here in the States. We've got a battle on, which sometimes is a buzzkill. Hey, man, speaking of buzzkill, let's give the refs more rules in the National Football League. They can misinterpret and screw things up like it happens to us all the time. Not that I'm bitter. Hey, man, we'll give you an NFL blitz. We're live at State Farm. This hour of the Dukes Bell Show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store, right off 85, man, to get some great deals on some demos. Go to mancavestore.com. New rule changes? We don't need them. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.